Cliff Central.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.
All right. Well, I actually enjoyed my time with Kelvin last month, so much so. And I actually checked through the files and I see Brett actually got to speak to you twice, Kelvin. So I'm not going to be outdone. So welcome back. It's good to have you. You seem to be our go-to guy when it comes to all things connected.
Cool. Thank you very much for having me.
Great, man. So it's been interesting over the last few weeks. Someone mentioned something to me the other day, and it kind of resonated. And we've all heard of mechanic syndrome. You know, like the mechanic's car is the worst car outside, and so on. I think I have to admit that I might be falling into that kind of category with some of my tech stuff. I mean, I've always got the latest, greatest, shiny, flashy toys. But I do seem to have a lot of frustration at home. So I think after everything I've learned from listening to your other interviews and even, you know, having a chat to you myself, I think I need to have an iConnect guy come around. But what I really wanted to talk to you about, because I did some Googling on this, and what I found scared me, because I see I've got a lot of patching going on, and that's the fact that my Wi-Fi at home, and probably in the office as well, could actually be the main culprit of my internet speeds.
Certainly.
Okay, that wasn't the answer I wanted to hear. So now we're going to chat about this. I was hoping you'd turn and say, hell no, Brett. So I think for people that are listening, because I'm sure there's 99% of the people are having the same problem that I've had, is you were told get a Wi-Fi modem. And this pertains to home and work. So I'm not going to jump between the two. It's basically a case of you've got a line that comes in from your service provider. It goes into a modem. The modem then can be either wireless or wired. And if it's wireless, it sends awesome signal all over. And we have the frustrations of brick and mortar or angling and all that. But I've taken all that into consideration. And yet I'm finding there's still issues.
Yeah.
So I kind of went online. And that's why I thought, let me get you back in. The one thing that I saw was the standard or the frequency, which is the 802.1 or something. Wow. Take us through, there's so many different 802. So maybe give the listeners a bit of a history of what 802.
802.11.
Yes, that was one of the ones I saw.
Yeah, started with A, B, and G.
Okay, hold on a second. Surely it's A, B, and C. No? A, B, and G.
No, this is technology. We don't follow any rules.
All right, so A, B, and G.
A, B, and G. A and B were 11 megasecond. G was 54. And then they went to N, which was closer to 100. Okay.
So this is the throughput speed of that specific.
Of that wireless.
Okay, cool.
Now, I didn't mean that you could get the full speeds of the specific technologies. We're now on AC, 1300 plus, and it goes all the way up. Now the big thing to remember about wireless is you can only output certain amount of power. Okay.
Okay.
So at a slower speed like A or B, which is 11 meg, your range was much bigger. Okay, so you had a 4 meg DSL with a wireless extender. It probably would have extended right through your entire house. All right, and it would have been, you were like, okay, cool, I'm getting 5 meg everywhere. Then you go and upgrade to the latest, greatest AC 1300 plus router, which gives you over 100 meg. Well, actually gives you up to 450 meg. On a 100 meg fiber line, and now you're only getting your dining room covered. You're like, well, what's going on? This is ridiculous.
Yeah. You got a camera in my house.
And that's exactly it. Because it's outputting so much, so much speed, its coverage is then shortened. So you then need repeaters to be able to get further coverage. And this is one of those things. Wireless works like that. I mean, it's why radio signals, for instance, go hundreds of kilometers. But cell phone signals can't go that far. And it's purely based on the fact that you've got a sort of a distance versus throughput give off that happens because of that. So it's important to understand that the higher speeds you go, the smaller your cells are going to be. So like your LTE, I mean, LTE and I are trying to put up micro cells because they've got really great speeds off LTE, but you don't go very far. So your 2Gs and even 3Gs are far higher cell
reaches. Right. I feel like I'm back in school, Kelvin, with the frequency of wave that you did in science. You know, when you the slower the wave, the further it went, and the higher the faster the wave, the shorter it went. But the peaks and troughs. Those like little I'm sitting here with my hands going like up down, up down, up down. But I mean that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So I figured that much out. I mean, that part, as I said, I have got a little bit of understanding of it. So I went and bought repeaters. And I whacked them all over the house. And I must say, the stupid little blue lights drive me mad at night because they're in the rooms. And they're obviously picking up and, going down, picking up, going down. But be that as it may, something that I thought of is that I might have bought the wrong repeaters. You know, they all, what's the word I'm looking for? They say they're universal, right? I hate the word universal.
Oh, absolutely.
Unless it pertains to a movie production company that makes really good movies, the word universal scares me, and I'm seeing that. You just mentioned now that the current standard that we're on is AC, and we had N and we had MIMO, and I've seen all these words on the boxes as I change my devices over time. But now, what I've noticed specifically is with my Apple products, most of them will take a 5 gigahertz frequency.
Yeah.
And a lot of the other older tech, even the TV, funny enough, which is not that old, is a 2.4.
Yeah.
And the modem that I have does have both channels going out. But when I looked at these damn repeaters after I bought them, they say 2.4. So straight away, universal, inverted commas, straight away they are universal, but they're only going to work on one of my channels.
One of your two, yeah.
And the other thing that I noticed on is it didn't say AC. I think it said N. So what I've got is I've got an AC-capable modem because that was the first thing I changed.
Yeah.
Okay, and I think I'm running like 2.4 or something like that, which is quite respectable
if
I'm standing on top of it. you know, you ask your wife to come hold a 65-inch TV on top of the modem, see how that works.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't watch it, no. is that causing a problem? I mean, have I got wrong components that are... Take us through this, how this should be mapped out.
Certainly compatibility issues. And I mean, also, the standards are growing daily. I mean, we're seeing new versions coming out almost on a monthly basis. So you absolutely have to be on top of that and match your equipment to what you want. As you said, Apple certainly supports the 5 gigahertz range, which is great because there's a hell of a lot of 2.4 interference out there. So going on the 5 gigahertz range makes sense. You'll often see it. If you scan, you'll get your neighbor's his SSID and your other neighbor's SSID, which just goes to show how much interference is out there. So going on the 5 gigahertz range makes sense because you'll get a lot less interference. But then you need to make sure that your repeaters support 5 gigahertz. And then looking at mesh products, you know, I quite like mesh products over repeaters.
Okay, I don't know what that is even. So can you explain a mesh product to us?
So mesh, in effect, actually creates a single network out of all your repeaters.
Okay, cool.
So, I mean,
so it's like a grid, basically, when you plan them out.
That's perfect.
Okay.
Perfect analogy. So here you actually have the same SSID across all of your repeaters, called, for lack of a better word, but on a single network. And they basically then just have, call it a backhaul component, which is wireless as well, back to the main antenna. But you've still got a single network, which is not quite nice and clean. So wherever you're walking, you've actually still connected to your house single SSID.
Okay, so I might have done that because it was a button that said push, you know, use that WPS or whatever, and it shares because I don't have to log into the repeaters.
Yeah.
And I'm still seeing the same SSID running through the house. So I might have done that maybe by default or having a look at the setup. So I've put a mesh environment. But what I'm worried about is the actual, you know, the frequency of change of technology. So let's be honest, no one wants to spend money. If it works, why do you want to replace it? But 100%. I think on the same note, I can't pick up the phone and phone iConnect and say, hey guys, I'm trying to watch Game of Thrones and I can't because I've got no internet connection and the lights are on and the DSL light is on or the fiber light, whichever it is I'm using. We upgrade our cell phones every 2 years.
Yep.
I mean, we sit there counting down the days until that freaking contract risk expires. And
sure.
Yes, they own me for 2 more years. And of course, 1 year later, the next one comes up, which is so much better. And shit, I got 1 more year to go. Surely then we've got to treat the backbone of what we're doing with all these devices in the same light. I mean, what is the frequency of change to this type of tech?
No, it's critical. 2 years is a good timeline. We certainly see that. And you cannot, you know, so many guys want to use their existing equipment. They say, it's been there for long enough. I want to use it. The challenge is, you know, it's also, there are two things we forget. So you upgrade your access point. So the guys say, cool, I'll upgrade my access point. Happy to do that. But then your devices... You've still got 802.11a device in your old laptop or whatever device you're using. So that'll never. It'll always connect at the slowest speed. So you actually need to upgrade your entire set of devices if you want to utilize those levels of speed. Now, if you're not too stressed about speed on your old laptop, not a problem. But if you want on your Apple TV and all these kind of things, you got to make sure they support the right speeds. I mean, otherwise you're going to get frustrated and you're going to have buffering. And it's not necessarily your backhaul connection, which is on fiber anyway, that is the problem, or the ISP upstream. It's a case of making sure that all the devices support the highest speeds possible to be able to provide the best throughput and therefore the best experience for whatever you're trying to do. And especially for over-the-top services, your Showmaxes, your Netflixes, Hulu, etc., etc. And we're all going that way. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you've just tuned in, I'm talking to Calvin Collett from iConnect, and we're talking about Wi-Fi potentially being the main culprit in your home or business network for not getting the speeds that you want. On that note, and we're just saying now with regards to upgrading equipment and that, I get that. I mean, I know that if I bring out an old whatever and it's got an A or B, it's going to connect to speed. The other question that I need to ask is the number of connected devices or people, whichever it is. I mean, a device can connect without a person. So let's keep it at devices. Let me just take my home, for example. And I don't want to get onto the Internet of Things because that's coming.
Yeah.
I have a smart TV in two rooms. I have an Apple TV in two rooms. I have two computers that are connected as media servers and file servers somewhere in the house. I own a laptop, a tablet, and a phone, or a couple of phones. My wife has a tablet phone, and so on. So, I mean, if I had to sit down and actually calculate the number of dedicated connected devices, not even IoT, things that are being utilized the whole time, it has to be somewhere in the 20 to 25 range. Mm. Is that killing my speed? Is that killing my connectivity? Is it not an issue? How do we manage that?
Most devices these days support 30 users or 30 devices.
Can I just interrupt you and unpack that further? Let's say I have a 10 meg. Well, I do. I have a 10 meg line, okay? And it's a pure 10 meg line. It's running fiber. It's great. The device can support 30. Fine. I've got 20. Are you saying then I'm getting 10 meg speed to each device? Or ideally, or am I getting half a meg to each device because there's 20 devices connected to 10?
You're getting 10 to each device as long as the other devices are not being utilized. So it's all a case of how many devices have been utilized at the same time. I mean, if they're sitting there dormant, not doing anything, they're not pulling any bandwidth, then you've got your full 10 megs. But if you're watching Netflix here and downloading a movie there and mails here and your kid's playing a game there, yeah, you're certainly sharing that.
I think that's important.
That's critical. I mean, you know, then someone does a speed test. So you've got four different devices doing that. You get a speed test of 2 megs. You're like, oh, what's my ISP doing?
Yeah.
Well, you're actually using 8 megs. Therefore, there's only 2 megs left for the speed test to run through and actually measure and it measures the differential.
And this is obviously something that iConnect will help us with. I mean, again, certainly, going into a consultancy type environment as opposed to being a seller, you could come in and say, listen, how many devices have you? Because I have this. I mean, I scream at my little guy all the time. Are you downloading or are you playing online? Da 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 da. Because I know he is. I don't even have to go and check that he is. And I don't need a net nanny to tell me this because I'm watching a movie at lower than SD and with a buffer every 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And no one else is there, you know? And my devices have moved into sleep mode. So I think that's the other thing as well, is that, again, we need to understand that Wi-Fi is not this magic fix that just throws cool connectivity around everywhere. There's actually quite a complexity to it. A
huge amount of complexity.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, the takeaways are, if you're upgrading everything else in 2 years, I mean, even a car. We service a car every 30,000 Ks or 20,000, or whatever the manufacturer is.
Yeah, yeah.
We should probably be looking at the same thing. If the internet is so important to our businesses and our lifeblood or even our connectivity at home, you know, people aren't doing that.
No, they're not. I mean, we've got many examples. I mean, one is a classic. The ONT, which is the fiber termination equipment, was installed in a cupboard upstairs. So we installed our device in the cupboard upstairs. And we spoke to the homeowner and said, listen, would you like to any other repeaters? He said, no, he's happy with just upstairs. Problem is, his office was downstairs. So he was getting less than 2 megs out of 100 meg potential capacity.
It's mad.
And the house was big. So those are the kind of things that it's just a mindset shift. We've got to realize that actually it is far more complex. I mean, as part of our installs now, we do exactly that. We walk around, we say, here's a dead spot, here's a dead spot, here's a dead spot. Okay, you need two repeaters, three repeaters, and then you'll get consistent coverage throughout your house. And that's part of our sort of value add, if you want to call it that.
I think it's important because everyone likes to think they can do it themselves. And I must be honest, it actually is quite easy to plug and play. Sure. In most devices, we're learning to plug and play. But you can't identify a dead spot, and you can't identify a need. I mean, I used to have when Wi-Fi first started, I had my router on top of a microwave, okay? It doesn't work.
No.
I mean,
no.
It does if you're standing on top of it, but then you're going to get nuked by the machine.
Exactly.
So these are the kind of things that obviously with yourselves and your team at iConnect we can solve.
Fluorescent lights are an absolute killer.
Really? I didn't know that. Guys, but they kill your eyes as well,
yeah.
So I mean, it makes sense. Just in finishing off this chat, one thing that I've been wondering, because I'm going to make the change from DSL or VDSL actually to fiber, and I know a lot of people are. Am I right to assume we can't use the same equipment for fiber, or is that a wrong assumption? Because someone said to me, no, you need to put in brand new routers. I mean, my router's 2 months old.
Depends on what the technology wirelessly support. So we'll give you a router as part of our install as an example.
Okay.
And most ISPs actually do at the moment, just to stop the finger pointing exercise. So it's far better just give a new router. Your repeaters might be fine because you might not need to run those at 100. So listen, if those run at 50, it's still good. Who needs 100?
Yep.
From a repeater base. So you can certainly use it potentially, but we prefer not to. We prefer to install brand new, install fresh, make sure it works, and then, you know, when we sign off, you say, great, I'm getting 100 megs, what I paid for, I'm excited.
Okay, no, that's valid. I mean, I ask the question, you know, no one wants to waste money. No one wants to buy things. And, you know, so I think that's the other thing as well, guys, as another takeaway and another reason to get hold of the guys at iConnect is if you're also thinking about it and your technology is old or older, this is a great time to actually do a clean, fresh install. New tech, new fiber, new everything, and you know, happy internet, happy family.
100%.
Awesome. Kelvin, we can get you where? What's the website address?
iConnectSA.co.za.
Okay, that's pretty easy.
There's a, to check fiber coverage, especially for your home, we've got a very nice page up at the moment, so just click on the fiber link and then just follow to Fiber to the Home, and then enter your address and we should have fiber for you.
Sounds awesome. Good. Thanks so much for coming in again. As I said,
pleasure.
Listen, I'll be two. I got two out of Kelvin as well, so nah. Cool, man. Have a good one. We'll chat to you soon.
Thanks, Evan. Okay. Cheers.
Ciao, bye. Cliff Central. I've got something important to tell you. CliffCentral.com.